Position number 11582, row 10.
Mr. Albert Hurst, row 10. We're talking about your work with the National Gas and Oil Engine Company in Ashton between early 1917, January 17, and the end of the war, where you had work, you'd been recalled from the army.
Yeah.
I believe when you first went back, you did some work on...
Elevating arcs for officers.
Elevating arcs?
Arcs.
What were they, exactly?
For elevating the gun.
How did they work?
Well, they were... There were gear teeth were mounted in the radial part of the arm that engaged with a corresponding gear, which the association was made to elevate it or depress the gun as required.
Did you make many things for artillery like that?
Oh, yes, indeed.
What other things did you make directly for guns?
Oh, I meant more of this type of...
Elevating equipment.
Elevating,
you didn't actually make anything else for guns?
I don't remember any.
Or howitzers?
No.
And you just make the part, the elevating gear, and then pass it to the artillery manufacturers, would you?
Yes, that's all.
Were there any other things you made that you can remember? Was it very hard work then?
Yes, every work.
What about you fought? Did that stand up to it?
Well, that was my problem, because I was so weak on the legs with not having walked, you know.
Did it affect your work?
Well, it must have done in some measures, because I was utterly exhausted when I came home from work.
Were you living with your parents?
Though? Yes.
How did they react to see? Were they pleased to have you back?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Did you talk about what you'd gone through?
Well, people weren't interested to listen. Had very little communication, only some separate items that occurred to me, instances at odd times that seemed to have an application and an interest to the listener.
So you just tell the odd story?
Yes. I've never been subject to sort of telling anyone in the manner that I'm telling you.
So... Did your mother and father, did they know what you, they didn't know what you'd gone through then?
Only superficially, very superficially.
What about the approach of armistice, or the armistice, what do you remember about that?
Well, I'm flu, I'm very bad with flu at that time.
Would that be the big flu?
Yes, yeah.
How did that affect you?
Oh, I sort of... utterly exhausted, a lack of interest and exhaustion.
How long did the symptoms last for?
Well, possibly over a week that I was in this condition.
Were you given any medical treatment?
Yes.
Where at?
Our local doctor.
So you didn't have to go to hospital?
No.
And what treatment did he give for?
I can't remember.
But it worked? Or did it just get better of its own accord?
I got better. I don't know whether it worked or I just normally recovered.
Did people realise how many people were dying from the flu? I mean, it was a very dangerous thing to get.
Not so far as I know.
And did you were ill that armistice week?
Yes.
So you wouldn't take part in the celebration?
No, no.
How did you feel yourself, though, when you got yourself back? I mean, were you pleased the war was over?
I'm very happy indeed, yes, indeed.
Did you think it had all been worth it?
I considered I made my contribution, which I fully intended to do so.
Did you stay on at the... When were you formally demobilised? I mean...
As near as I remember, somewhere about 1918.
What, after the end of the war?
Yeah.
So you weren't actually...
You see, the conditions of service were for 4 years, the length of the war. That was the expectation of...
So you'd be demobilised in November or December 1918?
Possibly so.
Did you have to report back to the Ripon or
anything? No.
So you just got told?
I got notice of discharge kind of thing.
And did you just carry on working at the National Gas and Oil?
Yes,
And you stayed there?
Yeah.
I'd like now just to... You've made a couple of notes about a couple of topics we haven't covered while you're on the Western Front.
Yeah.
One of these is about password and generals. If you could just tell me what you wanted to say.
Well, we're instructed to have a password for anyone, you know, who isn't recognised as being part of it.
This is in the line, was it?
In the line. We were holding Maricourt at that time, and one of the generals at the crossroads where we had a post was going past, and he was telling us for the password, which of course he didn't know. So he was put in a dugout with an armed sentry looking over him till the spirit of some officer came and identified him.
What happened?
Oh, well, this chap, he wasn't subject to any discipline measure. He was a sort of accepted as having done his duty.
And did the password change every day or every...
No, in practice it didn't change every day. It fell into disuse.
It wasn't... So why was that?
Lack of somebody really authorising it.
And enforcing it.
And enforcing it.
It was seen by the troops to be a waste of time then, was it?
Much the same.
Now, another thing is that you were buried once in a dugout in February 1910.
Yeah.
What happened there exactly?
Well, there were three of us left in this dugout. All the rest had gone on the Russian team. Now, during the day, they'd been putting some stuff on the top of this dugout to strengthen it. A German aeroplane came over and they all stood looking up at it. Well, of course he would recognise what they were and what they were doing. And they shelled this, and a shell buried us. The one man killed, another had his eye blown out, and we were all buried. A beam fell across me here. Bit of my mark across my arm there.
Across your wrist as a mark, yes. And you were actually buried alive then?
Yes, I was struck with this beam and it fell in this manner across. I was reading in the corner, you see, when it occurred, and they were in the opposite corner. And like I say, we'd been on the Russian team the night previously, you see. So we're in excess of requirement.
So were you completely covered in then?
Well, what this dugout was really a trench that was going over. It wasn't strictly a dugout in the true sense of being a dugout.
So you weren't covered in earth. It was just you had the support. The roof had fallen in.
That's all. Yeah.
Who got you out?
The rest of the Russian team, when they came back, they found us buried and dug it out.
Was it What was it like being under there?
Well, I was... mouth and eyes were full of book, you know. I had only the vaguest idea of being dug out.
Now, another thing was the gas attack that you once faced.
That was when we were on the marshes at Freeze.
At where?
Near Freeze. Vaud. It was a Vaud chiefly, facing Freeze. It was early morning when this gas attack occurred. We got our gas masks on, and then the wind changed before it really reached us, and it sort of drifted back on the German lines. I think we were more difficulty with wearing our own gas masks than any gas from the Germans.
What was it like to wear then?
Shocking.
What pattern was it you had then?
It was, you see, the windows got so steamed up you couldn't see through them. You had to sort of rub it on your forehead to enable you to see through the glass.
Was it a hood?
Yes. Like the Ku Klux Klan kind of thing. And tucked into your tunic and fastened up.
Was it hot to wear?
Shocking, yes. Exhausting. Yes, I think we were more troubled by the gas mask than we were the gas.
Thank you very much, then.